Welcome this morning to Zion, where we are here to hear the word of the Lord, receive the forgiveness of our sins, and the promise of everlasting life. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Greetings, in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the Sunday, July 19th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Joshua Hellman. The opening hymn is number 728, How Firm a Foundation, hymn number 728 found in the Lutheran service book. Mike and Rindy Ray are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God and memory of Rindy's mother, Deborah Lynn Heiser. Kent and Sarah Kleinschmidt are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 52nd wedding anniversary on July 13th.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words.
I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise.
When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies.
I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments.
Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law.
At midnight I rise to praise you. because of your just and righteous decrees.
I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts.
The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 44th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review in regards to the office of the keys. Where is this written?
This is what St. John the Evangelist writes. In chapter 20, the Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and they went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And so the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And then at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God,
begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 794, The Lord My God Be Praised, hymn number 794, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning is today's gospel reading, the parable of the weeds in the field. Please be seated. So, as I was doing sermon preparation, so I tend to do my sermon preparation, and then I look at these editions of a pastor's journal called the Concordia Pulpit. And I have this journal from 1930 to 1959, right? And there are years' worth of sermons in each of them. And these books were formerly owned by Steve Sauer's grandpa, and Steve gifted them to me nearly 17 years ago. And as I was reading up on sermons on today's gospel, which I kind of like to do, I go, okay, well, let's see what somebody else said about this text. And I read this sermon, and I was looking through that, and I found a sermon on this text from the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany in 1951. And lo and behold, I got to the end of it, and this sermon was written by one Arthur E. Neitzel. And Arthur Neitzel is Marty Neitzel's father-in-law, Tim and Mike Neitzel's grandfather. Pastor Neitzel was, I believe, Zion's longest serving pastor from 1940 to 1968. And many of you know Pastor Neitzel. If you don't know Pastor Neitzel, go over to the bookshelf or the coat rack over here against the wall and look up in those confirmation pictures. And from 1930 or 1940 to 1968, you'll see him in those pictures. And I looked at that and I read through the sermon and I thought it would be a nice tribute to his service here at Zion to let his words speak this Sunday. So this is Pastor Neitzel's sermon from 1951. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but it doesn't seem to be so. As we look out over the world and its doings, as we see and hear what is going on, as we read the summary of the world's events and the reports on its local happenings, it appears that this world is the very world of the devil himself. Still, it remains true. The earth is the Lord's and he has not abandoned it. The world is the great wheat field where the Son of Man has planted his kingdom and he is constantly sowing his children as seed. Yet the heavenly husband has his difficulties. Even as our farmers and gardeners have theirs, there are bothersome weeds that grow up everywhere to endanger the growing good seed. The godless and the unbelievers are everywhere. And the children of God find themselves surrounded by them. This is a vexing situation. It troubles our mind. Why is this so? What is to be done about it? Let us not try and solve the problem ourselves. Let us permit our Lord to instruct us as we consider what he has to say about the tares, that is, the weeds among the wheat. Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? The master said to his servants, an enemy has done this. The situation puzzles the servants. They can't imagine that he would have sown bad seed. Then how did the bad seed get into the field? The master's servants are perplexed. And so are the servants of God. They know that God has sown good seed. He has planted and preserved his kingdom for many generations. They cannot think that he is in any way responsible for the children of unbelief. But there it is. In the world, even in the lands where God has spread his kingdom for centuries, even in so-called Christian countries, there is much sin, there is wickedness, there is godlessness and superstition and unbelief. Many a person has been offended by this fact. Unbelievers point to it as a proof of the ineffectiveness of Christianity, saying that it shows that the religion of the Bible is genuinely not divine. In the parable, the servants go to the master for an answer to their question. And in this way, Jesus points us to where to go for answers concerning the kingdom of God. We are to go to the Lord. We are to go to his clear and to his reliable word. And where then does this unbelief and godlessness come from? In the parable, the master answers his servants, an enemy has done this. Jesus later explains, the weeds are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Sin and unbelief were sown on the field of the world when man in Eden disregarded the clear command of God. And to blame God for the fall into sin, as some people do, is the height of blasphemy. God sowed good seed when he made man in his own image. The suggestion to doubt God and to commit sin came from Satan, and man willingly and of his own choice consented. Since the days of Eden, Satan has been willingly and willfully sowing his seed in the garden or in the field of the world. The children of the wicked one, Christ calls them. The devil is still spreading his false doctrine. He's spreading temptations to disobedience. He's spreading temptations to ungodly living. To all unbelievers, the words of Jesus apply. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. All ungodly people who do not believe and obey God's word are the children of the wicked one. We are indeed disturbed by growing ungodliness in all parts of the world. Let men explain their social, moral, and economic problems as they will. We Christians who are instructed by the Lord, who knows and who does not lie, in our mad rush to self-destruction, is the very work of the devil, the archenemy of God. But what is to be done about it? In the parable, the master's servants are ready to take matters into their own hands. They're ready to go right out into the field and ruthlessly tear up the weeds that have been sown. And that seems like it's the quickest solution to the problem. Rescue the honor of God. Save the Savior's name. Protect and extend the kingdom of God by force. Peter drew his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he not? Why shouldn't we? Is that the way to deal with the situation? No, says the Lord Jesus. In our parable, the Master says, no, let them grow together. For to pluck up the weeds would be to do much damage to the wheat. It will be hard at times to distinguish between what is a new growing stalk of wheat and what is actually a weed. He that grabs a good handful of weeds may also grab much wheat with it. Besides, the roots of both are so intertwined that even the greatest of caution, wheat will be uprooted. The only thing to do is to let both grow until the harvest. What is true in the realm of nature is even more true in the realm of the spiritual. The distinction between one plant and another plant is often more easily made than that between a Christian and an unbeliever. For many, an unbeliever professes to be a Christian. We know that there are some unbelievers within the visible confines of the Christian church. And we know that there are unbelievers within the borders of the Christian church, successfully hiding their unbelief under a cloak of cautious hypocrisy. To ferret these out would be especially difficult and dangerous to the wheat. Besides, human prejudice must be reckoned with. How much havoc has been wrought in the church by the use of violent measures? Think of Saul of Tarsus, who went around to destroy the church and stamp out the early Christian movement. But in the spiritual reality, here's the difference. In our reality, weed doesn't become wheat. But in the spiritual reality, weeds may indeed become wheat. For unbelief often gives way to faith under the influence of the divine word. And what a mistake it would have been if some misguided Christian would have killed Saul of Tarsus before he came to faith and became the St. Paul that we all know today. No, the weeds are not to be violently uprooted. Let both grow together until the harvest. Some of these weeds may yet be the part of the harvest. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are spiritual. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. By the word, a better thing can be done than by plucking out the weeds. By the word, not a few of the weeds can be changed into wheat. The enemies of the Savior changed into children of God and heirs of eternal life. So we Christians are in the world not to hasten men into hell, but to save them from hell. The church's calling is to preach the gospel of the kingdom into all the world and to witness to all the nations. This is not the day of judgment, but it is the day of salvation. And Christ is still building his kingdom of grace. And his kingdom is not of this world. His servants do not fight. They are servants of the truth, and they hear his voice. They witness to the truth. So let both wheat and weed grow together until the harvest. The unbelievers will always be here to vex the children of God. They will always be here to live in rebellion against God, to wallow in sin according to their liking. And it will be so until the harvest. And the harvest is the end of the world. Jesus says that the false wheat will be taken care of in good time. At the harvest, the Master will command his reapers, "Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. And they shall be cast into the fiery furnace. And there shall be wailing of gnashing of teeth. And that will be the last judgment. We are not to forget that the false wheat will be destroyed in the judgment by the Son of Man himself. Thus the parable ends with a solemn warning. Let all unbelievers, the virtuous and the respectable and the vicious, let all of them who are outside the visible church and those that are within the church take note. The end of unbelief is disaster, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. While Jesus speaks this solemn warning to all unbelievers, he would by this warning console and comfort the believer. Let no follower of Jesus Christ be tempted to consider his following to be a mistake. Let him not suppose that there is no gain in godliness. Blessed are they that have forsaken unbelief and have forsaken the folds of the wickedness, or the folds of the wicked, for God and godliness, for Christ in the service of Christ. When judgment shall come upon this world, the judge, the Son of Man, shall gather the believers to his right hand and shall say, "Come, ye who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the world were laid. Then shall the righteous shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that is now and the life which is to come. He that hath ears, let him hear." In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds, in the one true faith, and to life everlasting. Amen. Let us now rise for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, we thank you for giving faithful servants to our congregation. Continue, we pray you, to rise up witnesses in this and every place to faithfully proclaim your word. Grant that your church may ever be the wheat among the weeds, bringing forth abundant harvest. Bless all pastors and church workers as they tend to the fields entrusted to them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, pour out the blessings of your Holy Spirit on the delegates who are assembled at the National Convention of the LCMS this week. Give wisdom to those who propose, deliberate, and decide for the work and the welfare of our Synod. Guard all who speak and guard all who listen. Give us courage to do with integrity what we promise. Bless our plans and actions. And grant success, O Lord. Only let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gentle Lord, visit the homes of your people that they may be places where faith is nurtured and where we learn to live our new lives in holiness and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Loving God, we thank you for the gift of health. We thank you, O God, that you have answered our prayers with a yes and granted that the first phase of Lucas Ross's brain surgery has been successfully completed and that he is now being monitored. We humbly continue to ask that the next phase will go well and that Lucas be brought to health and bodily strength. We also ask you to hear our prayers on behalf of the sick, the aged, the infirm, the mourning, the dying, and especially those unknown to us but known only to you. Grant them healing in accord with your will and the grace to sustain them in their need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
O Lord, preserve us in hope for what we do not see. Grant that we would receive your supper with hearts free from pride, presumption, or any other sin that would profane his precious body and blood. May we rejoice in his bodily presence for our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you've just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM or online at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to the internet stream, Facebook Live, and to the YouTube live stream. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please contact us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise as we continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for a redemption that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and his blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith in the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. you upon the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you each in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace, peace. Amen. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. Amen. The closing hymn is number 919, Abide, O Dearest Jesus, hymn number 919 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. A thank you to all who participated, helped out, or have assisted in any way with the Vacation Bible School last Sunday. It is greatly appreciated. Please check our bulletin for all the activities going on at Zion this coming week. I believe school board meeting tomorrow, Dr. Perry, is that is correct? I'm telling you, my pulse just quickened. I'm ready to go, ready to raring. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.